Be encouraged, little ones. Be encouraged. Be not discouraged. If you don't see with your eyes the progress that you think you should see, I say be not discouraged, but be encouraged, because I am incubating you, just as a mother bird sits on the nest and keeps the eggs warm. I am keeping you warm. I am incubating you. So be encouraged. Just be in that secret place. I brood over you. And in due season, you will reap.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I worship you, Lord. I exalt you, thank you.
We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Have I not told you before what a big God I am? I have not changed. From the very beginning, I was there. And just as my spirit hovered over the face of the deep, my spirit is still hovering over this world. Reach out to me for anything that you have need of, because I have already done it. I have already accomplished it. Reach out to me in my presence. There is fullness of joy. And at my right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I don't want to just meet your need. I want to give you everything you desire. I don't want to just give you enough. I want to give you an abundant supply. So come on into this room. Be more consistent and come into this room. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the secret place of the Most High God, and that is me. So make a way in your journey to stop off and spend time in this room with me. I am still hovering over the face of this earth. There is not a place that I do not dwell. I am here to meet every need and to give you every desire that you long for. So just ask and receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing waters, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing streams, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing virtue that flows through every one of us, Jesus. Because you are in us and you move as we let you flow, Lord. As we give our all to you, we let loose of the reins and we give it to you, Lord. You take control of us, Lord. We offer ourselves to you, Jesus. There's nothing we want more than for you to have your way. So take our lives, Lord. Take our lives, Jesus. Use us as you will, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah, Lord. We keep coming, Jesus. We'll keep coming, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord.
Hallelujah, Master. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. Praise all. All praise, all glory goes to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory and honor. Praise and thanksgiving. Blessed be the Lamb. I think He keeps extending Himself. And we're going to give Him all of that that He needs. Hallelujah. They were right, and both of them, what they prophesied, it was both the same, but said differently. Comes to incubate us. He comes to cover the earth. We are His earth that He's covering. This is for the purpose of bringing us forward. Hallelujah. Because His anointing breaks the yoke. I just want to get all of Him I can get, don't you?
Hallelujah.
Love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory, Jesus. Thank you, Father. The spirit of prophecy is one of the stronger parts of your service and of your life. For even the simple gift which comes to the believer is not the pronounced call of the prophet, but is the simple gift given to the Spirit as He wills. For any of you that covet these kinds of things, know that the profitability of it is not far more reaching. It is not just for corporate times of worship. But you'll find that kind of anointing coming on you to prophesy the mind of Christ to the individual that you witness to in the way, saith the Spirit of grace. For as I said, when they come together, each one have a psalm, a hymn, a prophetic word, a tongue, an interpretation, a doctrine. Know this, that as I said, as those who come in your midst, and you prophesy one by one, for if all spoke in tongues, then those that were without coming in would think that you were mad, had no ability to communicate with God or one with another. But you'll find this, that as the spirit of prophecy works in these last days, stronger and stronger and stronger, those who come in who have been of a different persuasion, who love me, but they have not been under the same teaching, the same training, and I don't condemn that, says the Lord. But they'll not understand initially what they see and what they hear and what they feel. And to begin with, many times they'll come in and think it's strange until they find out that something begins to grow on them. That being my spirit overtaking their spirit, and beginning to bring peace to their mind, whereby I bring a witness to their heart that surely I am in the house. For me being a testimony to them that I'm in this house is not that I glorify you or some work that you're doing for me, but rather that they may know that the words that they hear are spirit and that they are life, saith the Spirit of grace, whereby I may continue to guide their hearts. With confidence they'll receive the things that you say and that I say through you. So covet earnestly the best gifts. And I say to you that desire to be moved upon me by my Spirit and to prophesy the exact mind of Christ so intimately, so intricately, that it explains the very thoughts of their hearts, whereby they lift up holy hands and cry, God is in this place, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. You heal little children. That's why we love you. You heal people that have been afflicted, their minds tormented, all their life abused, bound by addictions. You come without condemnation. You touch their lives. You change them in a moment's time, relieving all of years and years of pain, emotionally and physically, filling voids that cannot be filled except through the touch of the Master's hand. You're the Lamb. You're the Lion. You're strong against our enemies. Our foes bow their knee at your feet. And because we're seated together with you in heavenly places, this is our lot. We receive, Father, your loving kindness. We receive your tender mercies and all together loveliness that you've caused us to be seated with you in heavenly places. It is your anointing that breaks the yoke. And without it, we can do nothing. We love you, Father. How we love you. He said in that tongue, tell them that this is the only kind of anointing, not this that'll come from this church, but this type of anointing, the saturation of your senses, and it takes you out of a place where you're dealing out of your mind, out of your senses, and you're dealing with situations out of your strength. He said, tell them that it's the only kind of anointing that, because of where the world's at right now, it'll begin to reconcile the world. Intellectual discourse right now, at this point in the dawn of man, is not going to do it. Door-to-door canvassing is not going to do it. A good anointed track is not going to do it. All those things can help. It's going to take the same kind of anointing that He walked in for you, not only to be a witness to the neighbor next door, but to get your family. To get your family out of the clutches. He's coming back. And whether you believe that we know this, we're going to be caught up. And we're going to be changed. And whether you believe that He'll turn right around and settle right back here for that 1,000 years, or we're going to go with Him 7 more there. One way or the other, He is coming back. And this was His message. The heart and crux of the whole thing, the heartbeat of God, was God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should or would believe in Him would not perish. That means not just physically perish, but forever be separated from God. They would not perish, but they would have eternal life. Hallelujah. That's His heart. That's everything from Adam to Christ and Christ afterwards. That's all He's ever desired is that man be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you follow Jesus' sayings, I'm going to just kind of give me a little hands up and say, I'd follow His sayings. I believe what He says. If you do believe what He says, then you've got to believe. I mean, this isn't me. Well, I don't believe what you're... Well, go take it up with Him. Because I'm just a reporter. They came to Him, they said, okay, tell us, when you said, there's not going to be a stone that's unturned on this temple. That's right. He said, when will these days be? What's the sign of your coming? And what's the end of the world? They asked Him 3 questions. Well, 70 AD, the first one took place. Rome went in and pillaged the temple and destroyed it. There wasn't one stone left upon another. But they wanted to know more. They wanted to know, when's the end of the world? What's the sign of your coming? He'll say, okay. Did you know he didn't pull out a slide rule? What was the guy's name? Astrodamus or whatever. He didn't pull out a slide rule and tell him, okay, let me write this down. Write this code down. Here's a numerical code that you'll break my coming. He just said this. Okay, here's the clue. Many will come in my name saying, I am of Christ or Christ. But don't be deceived, it's not me. But you want to know what he said when the Pharisees badgered him for a sign? He said, no, you're not going to get a sign out of me. You're not. Except one sign, same sign that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, in the heart of a whale, the Son of Man will be there also, speaking of his death. But then he turned right around, did not use a slide rule, did not use a calculator, did not say, okay, I'm going to give this so the next some 21st generation can put it into a hybrid computer and spit it out. But let me tell you what the sign of my coming will be. He said this, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Simple. Simple. He said, you want to know what it's going to be like when I come back? Then understand this. If you can go back and look at a real strong pictorial kind of image through the Word of God of what it was like when when Noah existed and what led up to his days. And if you can interpret and get a Polaroid picture of that. And if you're the generation, that is part and partisan to what he was, then you can say this. You're part of the last day generation. Well, give us a number or give us some kind of what a cataclysmic something. He talked about moon and stars and all that stuff, but he said, okay, bottom line, if you want to know the moral fabric of the world at the time when I get ready to come back, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. And he commentaried on this part. He said, as it was when they were marrying and giving in marriage, so shall it be. Well, some said, oh, well, okay, you mean it's just going to be common. They're just, no. He wasn't speaking real shallow there and say, it's going to be like everybody's going to just, you know, be living a common life and that you won't even know. He did say in another place it would be like a thief. Nobody would expect him hardly, except the church. But he said, get a picture of this. It'll be like this, as the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Now the first marriage there, was he making a redundant statement? No. He was talking about the high point, the pinnacle point, the epitome. I mean, what coined Noah's day, what absolutely brought it to an epitome and brought it to a place where God said, that's it. The Word says in Genesis, it repented God. He said, I am so sorry to myself that I ever created man because of what has come to the fullness, the fulcrum, the high point of Noah's day was this, that they were not only marrying, but the second was they were giving in marriage. He was talking about a place that Romans described, that even their women changed the natural use against that which was natural and burned in themselves one towards another. He said, you want to know the day? Second Peter talked about the coming of the Lord. And he said this, as in Noah, he said, when it come to that place, You know, he did not describe, you'd think God would describe if it was going to get real bad, real horrible on planet Earth. You'd think the first things out of Jesus' mouth would be the kinds of things like there'd be a whole lot of murder and a whole lot of these kinds of things and a whole lot of atrocities, devil worship, and all kinds of people going crazy. And I mean just real cataclysmic things, shooting stars, universes out of kilter. Jesus said the epitome will be just like this, as it was in Noah's day. Well, Peter said this, 2 Peter said that God destroyed that first world because of the unrighteous state that it came to. When you turn back and you look at what brought it to its fullness, you look in Romans chapter 1 and 2, and you find out that He destroyed that first world because, not because the things that we normally think, oh God, boy, do you know what Satan's number one, his Rembrandt, his Picasso, when he brought every generation to its fullness and God said, it boiled down. Do you know this planet boiled down one time to one family, one man? Even Noah's brothers and sisters. And he had a bunch of brothers and sisters. They couldn't even get on the ark with him. God boiled it down. He could only find one righteous man. Well, there must not have been but a couple of hundred on the earth. No, they were living 800 and 900 years old. There might have been as many people. Speculatively speaking, there may have been 5 to 6 billion. There may have been as many people on planet Earth then as there was now. There were billions of them, probably. And He destroyed it because the family unit was totally destroyed. The family unit. When God created man in His own image, the next thing He did was He put a family together with it. The first thing that you find out when Jesus borns you again and births you, He introduces you to your Father. We are a family. Satan's epitome was when he so evangelized the first world to the point that there wasn't even anything remotely stable about it. Men with men, women with women. It was so immoralized in the sense that you couldn't even see a picture of the first family. And Jesus said this, you want to know what it'll be like? They'll be marrying, but then they'll do the other part, the giving in marriage He was talking about. That part of the language was in a parenthesis talking about this. There'll be a giving in marriage that'll be totally abnormal to what normal should be from the very beginning. And when it gets to that place and you see that so redundantly, so often. Candy and I were doing a bunch of chores the other day in town, Fort Myers. We went from place to place because we had one of those checklists. If we're going to go to town, get out of prayer, better get a bunch of stuff done at once. So we were running around so, like, I was dropping her off. I'll be back in a bit, pick you up. I'll do something and you do something at the same time. It was so amazing. So amazing. So almost every place we walked into. Every place almost. Had people that were greeting us that were of an alternative lifestyle. I got to one place and as soon as we walked in, they were there trying to help us. You know, they're quite nice. Until you push the, you'll find that in Noah's day, that same thing turned into a violence. He said violence covered the whole face of the earth. They're nice until you push the fur of the cat the wrong way. And then you'll find out, like in California, they will murder you, even in their sweetness. That spirit will. I started laughing. I said, Candy, my God, I think it's even. I think there's almost as many choosing the other way as there is of us. I said, well, one thing about it, one day there won't be any people on planet Earth because they can't reproduce. But old Satan's got an M.O. for that too. He's already run way out ahead of your kind of thinking. That's why he's trying to put together cloning and people that can walk into banks and put 8 babies in them and they don't have a father, but the world will raise them. Why are you saying all this? I'm saying because he was prophesying and saying it is the last days and there's only one thing that's actually going to change. I love these people. My God, I love them. But they are now. It is no longer. The world that we live in is no longer in a passive state. And if you want to say, well, I'm just going to pray about that, Pastor, but I'm not going to get involved in that. Listen, where I work out, I usually use my headphones because I can't take the sound of things. I thought that's the way I'm supposed to do stuff. I used to ask them, could you do something with this? When the radio was in there, I'd ask them, turn it. I'm not asking for a Christian station. Can you turn it to the other one? And I knew it was a rock thing, but they didn't talk as nasty as the other one, so I'd choose the less between two evils. But sometimes when I'm lifting, you know, you can't have that on. When Pablo's spotting me, you can't have that on. You get over 300 pounds on your chest, and you don't want nothing in your ear. I used to ask him, can you turn it the other one? Because the other one wasn't so bad. But now the least of the worst has a straight guy anchor, a lesbian sitting beside of him, and then a gay guy sitting beside him. And it's so, you'd say, well, let them be. Let them. It's okay. It would be okay with me if I could just let them be. They want to evangelize me. They want to evangelize you. So they sit there and I'm having to lift. And they're talking about what they did the night before. And where he picks up his womanly clothes. You say, oh no. Yes. And where she picks up her man. And then they're scheduling dates for anybody that wants to, any straight people that want to try it out kind of deal. Folks, we are being evangelized. He wants to raise. It is coming. This is the last generation. This is the days of Noah. Violence was the epitome of it also. I never had a problem too much with boxing and all those kinds of things. I think I'd have liked to have been a boxer. My problem wasn't that I was ever scared. It was a problem that my eyes would glaze over and I'd get so mad I didn't see how many of you were or how big. I got stupid. You know, they just said, you're stupid. You'll get hurt. That's not the love of God. He got me out of that. Except one day they were playing it when it was in the gym. And I said, can you please? I said, well, you guys, can I just... I said, we don't have to turn Christian on. Can we just... That's back when they had the radio. One guy said, no, we're not. He was a lifter. So I pulled the plug out of the wall. Not the plug, but the thing out of the wall. And said, no. None of us will listen to it then. And I didn't have any on takers either. But it's still not right because you shouldn't read about your pastor whipping 5 or 6 people at the gym all for righteousness' sake. That's not right either. So that doesn't justify me. That doesn't justify me. So now I'm going to do it the right way. if I have to take it to the county commissioners and stand there, because I've asked them to do something about it. But see, now it's getting to the point we're can start saying we're being discriminated against. For years, people have said we're discriminated against, and some of them rightly so. But now we're being discriminated against. And prayer alone is not going to change it. It feels like what's on us is, don't fight it. It's just too big. We just need to huddle up and just bide our time to the end. It's not too big. Jesus loves them like He loves us. But you can't imagine what Satan is intending on doing. He took one world like ours and brought it down to one family. If you think that He can't do it again, you're foolish. He took two twin cities and boiled it down to one lot. Peter used that example. How can He do that? How can He take a whole generation and breed out of them those kinds of morals? Because He does it one generation after a time. Until our children that are growing up among all this, they see it and they don't... To me, when I was a little boy, you didn't even see none of that. Or it was closet stuff. Now, while I'm lifting, I have to listen to a man talk about his womanly apparel. It's the last days. Well, what am I supposed to get excited about that? Because He's promised us in the last days an anointing so strong that we'll stand out in the midst of them. And that we can stand up and stand out and not do like I was when I had that little bit of flesh come on me. Because that's not going to save them. But the love of God, I mean the love of God poured out through you and say, look, Jesus has an answer for your life. Hallelujah. And if God so tells you to stand up before the county commissioners and say, look, I'm being discriminated against. I'm being discriminated against. I don't have to listen to this stuff. I'm paying the county to provide a service. Listen, most of us Christians feel like that'll take a part out of my... I used to think that's going to take time out of my day. And it might even get me out of prayer. I'll run down there. I'll get an appointment. I'll run down to Naples and stand up. And if they deny me, hey, I can talk pretty good. Those five or six guys sitting on a board don't scare me a bit. I'm paying their salary. Sir, do I have to sit 2 hours in a gym and listen to this? And if they tell me yes, at least I did my part. But it's time that we get involved. First in prayer. And then we stand up and say, my kids will not be evangelized. Violence. Violence is the order of the day. I never had a problem with men wrestling or boxing or anything, but now it's a blood sport. They've got things that the people just sit around and all their desire is to see somebody hurt. I can tell you, He's not in it. God's not in that. He can't take pleasure in that. He can't take pleasure in it. We can't be praying that we're going to get people out of wheelchairs and believing that God will help us hurt somebody. Did I say it right? Or in love? And I'm not against training and martial arts and stuff like that. I've considered taking that for athletics' sake. But hurting people? It's getting to a place like it was in the days of Noah. Perversion and violence were the two things. And folks, it is on a rapid increase. Based on what they're doing now, if it doesn't stop, it'll go to the Roman Empire days that I might not see it, but my kids will see it, that you can watch pay-per-view people get killed. I promise you, you'd have never in your day believed that men could sit on each other and just pound each other's head until they were either knocked out or somebody just called it quits. Tapped out. 20 years from now, if the church doesn't stop it, you'll be able to pay like the Roman gladiators to watch somebody give their life. So somebody can go, whoa, I'm the man. We're headed towards His coming, and it's a wonderful thing because Jesus is coming back and we're going to be empowered in this last day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. But what is He saying? The anointing is the only thing that'll do it. The only thing that's going to break the bondage of their lives. You can't preach to them. You can't be mad at them and shake their lives, shake them and say, snap out of it. I'm going to disown you. You got to love them into it. And they got to feel that love. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory be to God. Would you just worship God with me just a little bit? I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Anytime that God is supposed to get the glory. Hey, man, look, there's Aaron Hendry. There's one of ours. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Say hello to everybody. Tell us what God's been doing real quick for you. Hold on a second, buddy.
Hello. Hello. Well, I've actually been running this student sports ministry on campus. It's called Athletes in Action. Well, it was there before I got there, but now I'm like head of it. And so, I mean, the Lord has been doing some miraculous things in my life. We actually had like four or five guys give their life to Christ on the football team this year. And so the ultimate goal in life is to save souls. And so that's what we've been doing. And when I get back, I got a few speaking engagements set. I'm supposed to go to a few prisons. So, I mean, we're trying to save souls.
Hallelujah. How's the AC? Hallelujah. You get to see him play on Bob Greasy usually is, I think it's on ABC. No, I've seen him out on the field on Saturdays on national television. He plays for the University of Wisconsin. And I love the boy, but I say it to his face, he missed God by not going to the University of Florida. At one time, he was Florida material, and he is now. Matt gave him the thumbs up that he could. That would have been one we could have used. But anyhow, we love him absolutely in a big way, in a big way, and he knows I'm picking at him because I can. Hallelujah! Just bragging on him. But the main thing about it, he's not just an athlete. He sincerely loves the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the main thing. Praise God. Raised up under Homer's ministry. And sometimes Homer does some pretty good stuff, doesn't he? Sometimes. Hallelujah. We were praying for Susan Friday night. But tell us a good report. Tell the people what was wrong at one time.
I don't know all about the blood work and all of that. I can't remember. It was three pages of blood work that Susan had done, and Dr. Porto said that she needs to go to the hospital. They need to do a transfusion, a blood transfusion, and that it was very serious. And he couldn't read all of the whatever the report was. Well, we couldn't either. So we went over to the hospital. We went in and out of the hospital twice. But anyway, the nurse said that they were going to do a transfusion because her blood was very low, and all the rest of the reports. There was a whole two or three pages, but one of them had a part that long that all of them was extra low, and that's why she's tired. She can't do too much. She can work like 2 hours and then has to rest, you know. But anyway, the nurse came in and she said that this is something that you're not strong. Your body can't build back up on its own. It needs help when it gets this low. And they began to do this, and they pray up to you. You know how they do. They give you the little gown, and they do all this and lay you down, and then they come and go and got some more reports to do. They came, they kept coming back. And the first report, I leaned over to Susan, and I said, Susan, we don't have to have this. I said, you know God does miracles. I said, we're just going to pray that they'll just rise right up. The nurse was standing there. She said, well, this is, you know, and I don't take that. You know I don't. So we just sat there. They went back. She said, well, we're going to do another report. So they went back and had to do another something else with the blood. And they came back in and said, your liver is fine. They said all the rest of them. The one that they were real concerned with was 8.0. And it had come up from eight, from the first blood report to the second one, 8.3.5.
Hallelujah.
And they said, no transfusion, nothing. We're going to send you home. Just take care of yourself.
Hallelujah. Glory. That's her God, and that's my God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I glorify you. I glorify you, Jesus. God is good, isn't He? Yes, He is. Hallelujah. I mean, how many of you know He wants to do this all the time? For everybody that He can. Are you glad for Jesus Christ? And are you glad for the Comforter that He sent? Glory to God. Marcia. Hallelujah. How many of you believe you'd like to be a part of really helping support what God's doing here? Well, Barbara and then Tony and then a couple more. I hope that you three are writing big checks. How many of you would really like to help us out today? Hallelujah. Aaron, when you play on Sunday, son, I'm expecting the first big check to come here. What are you laughing about? I know you told Homer you're going to help him out with the youth, but write it out to the youth and I'll administrate it, whatever it is, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So won't you ask God what He'd have you to give this morning? Just ask Him. Why don't you bow your heads? Because we'd appreciate your blessing this morning. It'd help us out. It would help out things. Father, I love you. I thank you for everybody that's here. And for all the love of God that you've given to us. And the goodness for all you are to us. That you are our supply. You're the one who meets all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I pray not only for us, but for them also. Job opportunities, increasal, Lord, of favor on the job, wherever, Lord, those unemployed will come into employment. Lord, more and more of your measure and gifts and blessings upon their lives. And we thank you for it, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen and amen and amen.